The gospel this morning is recorded in the 20th chapter of the gospel according to John. The story of Easter continues as the risen Jesus appears to his disciples. His words to Thomas offers a blessing to all who entrust themselves in faith to the risen Lord. The gospel from the 20th chapter of John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my fingers in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Word of God, word of life. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. The truth is, we all look for signs. Clear markers to point us in the right direction. But if you think about it, a sign, like a sign out on a street, a stop sign, a yield sign, no right turn sign, the sign itself is of little value. Whatever it costs for the metal or whatever other material. But really, it's the message that is important. It's the message that comes in the sign which is of value. Hear the last words from our gospel reading today, from verse 30 and 31. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Easter morning signs that John is writing about in this text is a stone rolled away from a tomb. It is an empty tomb. It is the sign of grave cloths lying there where there had been a body. It is the sign of a gardener there in the midst of the garden talking to Mary Magdalene, who is actually Jesus, but she couldn't recognize him. The signs included later in the day when Jesus comes into that room where the disciples gathered behind locked doors. The signs included showing the nail marks in his hands, the spear mark in his side. We want signs, you and I. We want something tangible to hold on to know that what God has promised us is true. So this spring, or early summer, marks the 10th anniversary of the floods of 2011. The waters that first rose in the Bismarck area along the Missouri later went away, but then the floodwaters really came up on the Mighty Mouse or the Souris through Minot. where thousands of homes and businesses were flooded, including four of our sister churches in the ELCA, 3 and Minot 1 in Burlington. 2 of those churches included Augustana Lutheran, which is right across the street from Minot State University, and then 16 blocks to the west and a little bit south, Christ Lutheran. In those days, I spent a lot of time in Minot, meeting with leaders, talking with crews that were mucking out buildings and homes and churches. I talked a lot with people who had lost everything, and they wondered, what did the future have in store for them? Both of the congregations that I talked about had water that filled the basements of the church, and it rose up over the seats of the pews. One day, I was at Augustana Lutheran. I was by myself in the sanctuary. The pews had all been torn out, stacked on the boulevard to be hauled away as garbage. All of the carpet had been ripped out. Any place that there was sheetrock throughout the narthex and into the office area had all been ripped out. It was gutted. It was just 2x4 studs. There was nothing left in the sanctuary except bare cement floors, the stone altar, and the stone pulpit. In the midst of standing and just looking at this emptiness, Presiding Bishop Hansen called me to see how things were going. And I said, it feels like a tomb. Dark, dank, empty, musty tomb. Down the street at Christ Lutheran, it was much the same. But earlier, maybe 3-4 weeks before this, as the floodwaters had receded, the first time the congregation members could get together and meet in the parking lot to talk with one another, to pray with one another, to cry together, they couldn't go in the building. It wasn't allowed, but they could be outside, and they could look at the devastation around them. As they were gathered, all of a sudden, one of the kids came running around, doing what kids normally do. They had gone to the south side of the church. And there, what used to be grass was covered in muck, but in the midst of that muck, along the foundation on the south, poked up a couple of flowers. They were green and in full bloom. Members of the congregation took pictures of those flowers because they saw it as a sign of hope in the midst of all of this devastation around them, a sign that somehow things were going to be all right. We seek after signs, something that points the way to life, something which says, this too is going to be all right. It's part of what John left behind in the writing of his gospel, a sign that these things which happened on that first Easter were not fables or fairy tales. They were events that we can believe in and hold on to. John wrote as a witness, testifying to God's power over sin, death, and darkness. But what's it really matter whether or not you have something to believe in? What does it really matter that some 30-year-old or so faithful Jewish man 2,000 years ago was betrayed by his closest friend, abandoned by the rest of them, sentenced to death in an incredibly horrible way, and then rose 3 days later? What's it matter even if you do believe? John answers that question. In the 31st verse in the 20th chapter, this is what he says. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The difference is life. What Jesus brings as God's own Son is life. That is what the gift of the resurrection is, that you may have life, that we may have life, that we may have it abundantly. The writer of John wants us to know without a question that Jesus is God's own Son. And this one has the power to bring life, even out of what looks like death and total despair. Through God's own Holy Spirit, life can be unleashed, even in places where it looks like nothing but total death. So what's life look like? It looks like a flower poking up in the flood-devastated muck. Did those flowers wipe away the difficult days ahead? Absolutely not. An emphatic no. I mean, the truth is, if you have driven recently on University Avenue, which is just on the south side of Minot State University, you will come past what is now a gravel parking lot. That's where Augustana Lutheran used to stand. About a year after the flood, members of the congregation decided it was just too costly to rebuild their congregation, and there weren't enough of them to make it happen. So they chose to merge with Christ Lutheran. If you go over to Christ Lutheran, you will see that they have been able to rebuild, that they've actually added on a fellowship hall that is above ground, that can't be flooded again. And now, Christ Lutheran is getting ready, 10 years after the flood, to launch a new daycare in their basement. They are getting ready to launch a recovery ministry where they will invite in those who are struggling against alcohol or drug dependency. It has not always been easy, and their debt is large coming out of this. But they see life in the gospel, and they have a desire to share it with others. So back to your life. Back into the midst of what you live in. Does resurrection life mean that everything blooms roses on a daily basis? Nope. That's not the promise of the resurrection. The promise is that in the midst of everything that we do face in our daily lives, that the resurrected one walks with us to hold us up, to carry us when necessary. This story, the story of the resurrection, the story of Jesus coming in behind the locked doors where the disciples stood in fear, is told again and again and again so that we might believe, so that we might trust, and that in believing and trusting, we might have life. Amen and amen.